Harihi Om Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvi Navaditamastu Mavidvishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shiva Sari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare
So Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha, Chapter 34, The Nectar of Devotion, page 69. Right? This verse answers the doubt. The ignorant, agyahi, are those who, though knowledgeable of other scriptures, are not conversant with the scriptures dealing with rasa. They are not able to understand the conclusion that is understood by the devotees, whose hearts are inundated with rasa. Those who cannot be distinguished from animals are called gramyahi. These two types of people immediately conclude by superficial inspection, sapadi, that these rasas give sorrow. However, the rasas of karuna, bhayanaka, and bibhatsa, which are relished by both the bhavya and the bhavaka devotees, are considered to be full of bliss by those knowledgeable of the conclusions of scriptures. Pragyahi, dealing with rasa, even though those persons cannot directly taste them. Right? So therefore the agyahi and the pragyahi, so those who understand the scriptures, you know, the conclusions. So the idea being is that in these secondary aspects of rasa here, because they're going to flavor the primary, then within that, then these three are of that karuna, then here being seen from the aspect of lamentation. You know, bhayanaka, fear, bibhatsa, then disgust. So why would those be considered that they are something nice? You know, they would be seen as a problem. So how can you say that in the pastimes that these rasas are present and then say that that's a better situation than we're in now? You understand? Mm-hmm. Right? Because people want to move to a better situation. They want to be freed or liberated from this and get to a better one. Right? So one is you're looking at it from the angle of jnana that, you know, it's not nice, so therefore they'll see it in the mundane sense. So they won't see it as a transcendental position. Mm-hmm. And for the karmis, then they'll see is that I'm suffering now and I want to get free from that suffering, go to a better material position which I am enjoying. So if you can give a spiritual option, that's also fine. It just means to go a little further. You know, it's like you're going to go to this hotel, but they say, no, there's a better one far down two blocks. You're willing to go. You know. So the whole point is that they can't distinguish, because of the material rasa in their heart, they can't actually appreciate the transcendental rasa. So, therefore, the bhavya and the bhavaka devotees, they're considered to be full of bliss by those of knowledge, even though those persons cannot directly taste them. Right? So, but even you're not on that platform, but they have that entrance into, so they're able to appreciate the position of it. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it doesn't mean that you have to have fully tasted it yourself, but by Krishna reveals so that you appreciate that, and you can see that, yes, this is on a higher position, though you yourself may not be tasting rasa on that platform.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Yeah.
I think these three rasas especially, these three of the secondary rasas are always like, can never come as the main in the sense that it always like enhances the primary. The other rasas, though it enhances the primary, it's kind of like, it can exist like for like a humor rasa.
But humor within what? What are the jokes? You know, it's just like, let's say, you have some of your good friends that you went to school with and just spent all your time with. What kind of jokes can you tell? right? Now, you take those same friends and you put that into a situation where you're at home with your parents and your mother and aunties and all. Can you tell the same jokes?
No.
No. So it's dependent upon the rasa that's there. Why? Because on the one, it's just friendship, therefore that kind of joke. But the other one, now you're in a parental environment. So the joke has to be favorable for parents. I mean, your friends are going to laugh anyway, but the parents won't laugh, and then that means ultimately you're not going to be laughing. You know what I'm saying? So that's why it's mentioned. You have the five primary rasas, so the sthayi bhava. Then you have these seven secondary. So in sthayi bhava, you just are tasting one. It can have its flavors within it, but it's still one rasa. Right? And so then you can add to that the other seven. So the seven can be as a support. They're a support, but when they take their prominence, like you're saying, then it appears that it stands on its own, because that becomes the taste. But actually, it's only there in support of. Means the primary rasa is taking a back seat, but that back seat is still the support for what's the secondary rasa that's sitting on it. Does that make sense? So that's why it says you can only taste eight of the 12.
Yes.
Because one of the five, and then the seven.
Yes.
But you can have combinations of those seven. So you may have many of them happening at once, like that. But but it'll always be based on the style, because that will just give the flavor of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, does that make sense?
Mm-hmm.
Like little kids, something's different than normal. You know, you move something and it makes a funny sound. So for them, that's a big joke. They just keep doing that. The adults are sitting going, "What are they doing?" You know. So it depends upon their position, their relationship. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So, we are mentioning in the beginning. So the first step in order to appreciate rasa is appreciation.
Yes.
And this we can get by hearing.
By hearing and the association of the bones. We have to hear from the bona fide sources. Otherwise, then you may get appreciation of, let's say, if it's from mundane sources, then you can get a taste of mundane rasa.
Yes.
But transcendental rasa means you have to hear it from transcendental sources.
Yes.
That's therefore parampara. So that's why Prabhupada's talking about when you have these professional Bhagavat reciters, then you're only going to get from them mundane rasa.
Yes.
Because that's all they're bringing out. So the audience is mundane, and they're mundane. Though they're happy to talk about it, you know, basically from the platform of goodness, you know, from the scripture and these kind of things like that. But how they're going to interpret that and apply it will be a sense gratification. You know, but because it seems to be a more sattvic, therefore it's attractive.
Yes. Yes.
Like that. So it's only if you hear from devotees, then you actually get transcendental taste.
Yes.
So we appreciate it. But we get a taste, not that we can't have a taste, but it just means when we say someone is on the platform of rasa, means they always taste. It's not that they sometimes taste. Like let's say we're here, some nice, you know, senior devotee is telling some nice pastimes and all that, and we're really getting absorbed and really getting a taste from that.
Yes.
But as soon as they stop talking, then, you know, or our phone beeps, then, you know, the taste is gone. Right? So that's the thing. But for the rasiks, they're always on the platform of taste. Which rasa is coming up, which taste is there at any moment, that's always changing. But that's stable. They're steady in that rasa. Well, then for us, we're not, so we're not counted on that position. So you count what's steady. That's then you give a name to one's position. Does that make sense? So Shraddha means you're steady in Shraddha. You know, steady enough to consider, you know, devotional service as the important element, the main element of the life. Because otherwise, it's not that there are, I mean, I heard about, when was this? Some years back. That they had done a survey, maybe it was a census in America. So I think they do it every 10 years or something like that. So it would have been some time back. And when they have on there also religion, a lot of people just put Hare Krishna. Mm-hmm. Though they're not practicing devotees, no one even knows who they are. But they've, you know, read the books. They have that, you know, a little bit of faith is there. But, you know, it's just there's something there. But it's a jnana sukriti. It's not like their life is now centered around. So they're not functioning within the, you could say, the society of devotees. Mm-hmm. So the difference is that whether they're just part of the movement, you know, like that, or the mission, but, or they're part of the society. So the society means they have that faith, now they're willing to take that as a major thing in their life. And so if they have, then that means they're on that level. But then that increases, that faith increases, then you take up the association of devotees. We call it sadhu sangha, because now that sadhu sangha is important. Yes. But if sadhu sangha you may not, you're not really that worried, then that's just called faith. Yes. Then, having taken up the sadhu sangha, and you come around, you do things with the devotees, but it's not specifically that you care about that. But then when you want to follow, you want to practice, that's called vajra-nitriya. Yes. Right? Does that make sense? So it's still the same element of faith and all that kind of stuff. It's just a matter of the faith has gone farther, so then the faith deepens. So, so when the faith is full, then it's called prema. Because then it's the faith is in Krishna exclusively. Otherwise, it's Krishna and... Yeah. So that's the symptom on the... And for the sadhaka, it's not Krishna and something. Right? So that's the one in nishta. Because anartha nivriti is removing those faith in things other than Krishna. So now it's, you know, in generally, at least in your determination and that, there is nothing else other than that. By habit, maybe it's not, but by your determination. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? And then, so it just progresses from there till it just becomes completely exclusive. So prema means it's just about Krishna. Mm-hmm. Right? That faith is just, so it's, that's why it says prema is mature faith. Mm-hmm. So it's faith that's increasing each step. When you say Shraddha to Prema, there's nine stages, it just means nine depths of faith. Mm-hmm. So now you can say when you have one unit of faith, it's called Shraddha. When you have two units of faith, it's called Sadhu Sangha. Three units is called Bhajana Kriya. Four, it's called like this.
Because there is a relation between faith and association.
Yes. Like that. But when the appreciation is there, then naturally it goes, because there's thinking, then there's feeling, and then there's willing. So if you think, you appreciate, then you're going to see the value of it. So that's why you hear Shravana. Yeah. Then you practice it. You know, you hear and you remove doubts. Mm-hmm. Right? So that's Shravana. Then you practice it. Right, in contemplating it, how does it apply and all that? Then that'll be manana. By continuing doing that, that'll bring you realization. So now you have value. So, so this doesn't mean, when we say value, we mean value meaning realization in Krishna consciousness. You know, if you somebody, oh, he has good values and like that, means he's a nice guy, pleasant guy, and all that. That's not what we're talking about. Though it'll be gained in the same process, but it's not. You have a key sticking out of your... Yes?
If we don't read books of Srila Prabhupada or don't listen to lectures of his devotee, after a few days we are unable to remember Krishna. So this ability to remember Krishna without listening and reading, till which level of bhakti it will be, or it will be always?
See, the point is that there's never a point where there's not listening. It's just a matter of whether that listening is coming from outside or that listening is coming from inside.
Yes.
Does that make sense? So it's just like, that's the whole point that's there. You know, so... That you're always remembering Krishna, so you're always hearing, chanting, and remembering about Krishna. So then, whether you're hearing that from outside, up from other devotees, from lectures, from the books, or whether what you've heard from the devotees, from the lectures, and from the books, that you're contemplating, remembering, and that, and applying that. So the point is you're always in that association. So we either are always thinking like that, or we're also hearing. So that's why hearing's the first. Because then from that, then remembering will come. So as long as we're not remembering, then we have to hear. And the point is, even if you're remembering, you like to hear. It's just like Vyasadeva is quite comfortable sitting down on the bank of the Ganga there and listening to Srimad Bhagavatam, even though it's his book. And not from pride, yeah, this would be my book. Yeah. The person station, I said, you know, I taught that thing. Yeah.
Narad Muni wrote about me. Narad Muni is there. It's like most of the pastors are about him.
Yeah. So, Narad Muni's there. Brahma's sitting in the back. You know, you know, so it's that it's just so nice to hear and remember. So we're taking it that it's an activity that's there, and so therefore I'm more advanced, so I don't have to hear. That's not the point. Is that hearing and chanting is what devotees do. So Prabhupada's just regulated into the schedule. Otherwise, originally it wasn't there. Not that it's not part of the natural Vaishnava aspect, but he was giving lectures. The books were there. The devotees had the time. You know, it's expected they would read, they would be chanting, they would be reading, they would be discussing it, like that. And so basically from 66 until 70, there wasn't a morning program as such. Because they would have the lecture in the morning, lecture in the evening, and then in between they go out on Harinam all day. You know? So the thing was, is so then the evening afterwards, when they would read, you know, read Krishna book like that, go to bed in the morning, expected they would chant, they would study, they would discuss these things. But then in 1970, when some devotees came up with this impersonal idea of Srila Prabhupada and were preaching it, and everybody was buying it, except I think Satsarup was the only, because he was the only one that like read the books, because I think he did editing and stuff like that, so he knew the philosophy, and so he was arguing against it, but no one else knew. So then Prabhupada understood they're not actually studying and coming to that platform, so then he started the morning and evening class, so that you're regularly, at least every day minimum, it's just like 16 rounds is minimum, so it's minimum you're hearing, you know, Shastra in the morning and evening, you know, for however long that, you know, is there. But, you know what I'm saying? So it's like your japa is taking a few hours, a few hours is there and hearing, then you're doing your service. So that's a minimum. But otherwise, the idea is you're always hearing, you're always thinking, you're always contemplating. Does that make sense? You know, it's just like we see as those advanced, they're always chanting. So even if they're not chanting on beads in that, I remember seeing I think it was Krishnas Babaji. You'd be talking to him, and you can see him chanting, you know, and you can tell what words are there, you know, because you can, you know, just, you know, it's just that's how deaf people understand what you're saying. They can, you know, lip read, and you can see where he's chanting. Then it would be funny is that he would then you'd say something, and then he'd say something back. Then wherever he was in the chanting, then when he stopped speaking, he would just go back to the chanting there. You know, it wasn't that it stopped here and then he spoke. The chanting went on, and then if at that point in the mantra here is when he stopped speaking, that's the part he would start chanting again. You understand? Does that make sense? So he was always chanting. Then he was doing on beads. Then there was kirtan. Point is, he was just always chanting. And then there's that pastime Prabhupada tells where I think they go, I don't remember who it was, but they think they go to, Krishna takes somebody and they go to, I think it's Arjuna, he's sleeping, and his hair is chanting or something. Rukmini. Rukmini's hair is chanting?
No. Krishna takes Rukmini to
Arjuna, okay. Yeah, and so they're always chanting. So that's the point. It's 24/7. That's the standard. So we say 16 rounds. That's minimum. You know, and the better you get at it, the more you're supposed to chant. Not that, you know, at first it takes me 2 hours to chant, and I get it down to an hour and 20 minutes, and now that's all I chant. No, you should still be chanting more. So then you should chant more rounds. Is that... So, in other words, we'll always be hearing and chanting about Krishna. So now whether we need to formally do that on a regular basis, or whether we're always, what we've heard, we're always remembering. But the point is, this regulation is a good thing. Raghunath Das Goswami set the example. Is that every day do the same thing at the same time, exactly. So it's good. It is well established by the knowers of rasa that by the speeches of the devotees and by the nature of rati itself, karuna, bhayanaka, and bibhatsa will produce happiness. Since those rasas have the nature of manifesting vibhava and other elements which produce extraordinary, astonishing bliss. Right? So vibhava is Krishna. Right? Srila Jiva Goswami. Having condemned the ignorant and the animalistic people, the author now shows the reason for the conclusion of the knowers of rasa, pragya, concerning the production of rasa. Oh, that's one thing I forgot on here. It's just interesting before, is that those who cannot be distinguished from animals are called gramyai. So gramya kata just means not Krishna conscious discussion, because eating, sleeping, mating, defending, that's the discussion of the animals. The Prabhupada mentions in the morning, question and answers. That's all anybody does. So in the morning they're asking, where's food, where's this, where's that? And at night they talk about that. You used to have, I don't know if you still get it, but along the long building, it was completely full with these gardenia bushes. And in certain seasons, there would be so many sparrows in there. Thousands of sparrows would go in there to roost at night. And so when they come in the night, they're just making so much noise, just, you know, chirping and that with each other. And then in the morning when they wake up, same chirping, and then they'd all fly off. So that's gramya. So it means it's the discussion of the animals. Just an interesting... Tebya, referring to the three rasas, is in the plural, but actually means each one individually will produce happiness in its own way. Right? So even though it's talking about them as a group, each one separately will produce happiness. Right? So it's not that they all have to be together, then only it's happiness. Karuna ras becomes outstanding in separation from Krishna, in which there are worries about danger to Krishna, as in the following example already given in the text. My heart did not become shattered on seeing Krishna, dearer than 1,000 lives, bound up by Kaliya. How hard my heart is. Bhakti Rasamrita Sindha 2.5.62. In separation from the Lord, the associates of the Lord experience sorrow filled with worries about danger to Krishna, superimposed upon and arising from knowledge of separation. Right, so there is that sense of separation. That's why it's coming up. Right, so just so that will give one flavor. So just like in the same way as in the flavor of that is there in being with Krishna, then the flavors that come up from that, because you know you're with Krishna. Right, does that make sense? So that's why it's it. Yeah. That's why you see in Shantaras there's no feeling of separation. Because they know everything's Krishna, so they're always with Krishna. So they're never separated. Right? Though this condition exists, there's also the action of Rati. Rati Lilaya, whose very nature is the highest bliss. For the associates of the Lord, Bhavya Bhaktas, who are praised in poetic works, their rati is filled with hope arising from the possibility of meeting the Lord again as previously, and from faith in hundreds of statements of the omniscient Lord. Right? So he says he's coming back. He says he's always with them. He says all these things. He sends messages. So that hope that they're going to see him again. So that's the whole point, is that sometimes it's thought, okay, well, separation is just on its own. But no, separation has the value. Because you were with Krishna and you will be with Krishna. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense? So then it has its intensity. Right? Mm-hmm. And then the Sambhog has its intensity because you're with Krishna, but you can be separated. Right? You're together now, and then that will go. You're out in the fields with him, and then you'll go back to Vrindavan. Does that make sense? Yes.
In fact, in previous lecture, we explained that it is viewed that Krishna in Kurukshetra was a hive because of separation.
Yes.
And Lord Jagannath appears as it is viewed. And my question is, when we worship in our altar, after Radha and Krishna, to whom we should offer items? To Lord Jagannath or Giriraj? Because Giriraj is not in separation.
It's not that he can't be, but generally in here, because he is taking that, he's Krishna, but there's that mood of that assistance too. It just depends upon where you put. If Giriraj is sitting down there in front of Radha and Krishna, you serve to them, then show that, or he's encountered when you worship Radha and Krishna. And then Jagannath's on another altar, so you're offering there. They're all the same altar. It's just a matter of the proximity. If you have them, then you have Jagannath and Giriraj on the side. You just go down. It doesn't really matter. You understand? Because you're dealing with the same people. It's just different flavors. Because Jagannath also feels himself a servant. When you say, Krishna Giriraj is, is the greatest servant. He's just in the mood of servant and that. But all Vishnu Tattva is in the mood of servant. Everybody except Braja Krishna is in the mood of servant. You know what I'm saying? So you can't use that one either too much. Does that make sense? Because it is Krishna. Because otherwise, if you're having intimate pastimes, the Dham is controlled by who? Krishna or Balaram? Right? Balaram. So it's his energies that are doing. Okay? But now, so that means it's not different from him. Now, if the most intimate pastimes between Radha and Krishna are happening in Govardhan, so what's the advantage that Krishna is there? So it means Balaram's not involved. Because the point is when you have the elder brother, you can't be as intimate. You know what I'm saying? It means the couple is just sitting there themselves, but if the brother walks in, then it's different, because he represents like the father. You understand? So, therefore, the aspect that he's taking that's going to be a natural thing. He'll naturally be Govardhan. Because then you can have the highest manifestation. Because it says, of all places, then Govardhan. And then of Govardhan, then Radhakund. Mm-hmm. Because Radhakund, then that's manifest by Radharani. So then that is just purely in that. There's no other aspect there. But that's just the situation, as it mentions, and it was saying is that the Dham is revealed. That's the first. So that so by that situation, then you have that particular mood that goes there. So one shouldn't also read too much into that and make too much of a separation between Giriraj and Krishna. They're the same person. It's just that he's taking on that, because who else is going to do that? It's just like when Krishna's having that pastime with Brahma, and he's replicated all the cowherd boys and calves and everything like that. So he does that with his own energy. It's not Balaram's expanding it. Everything else is expanded from Balaram. He does that in his own. So it's something that it's regularly happening. Then Balaram's kind of like, okay, what's going on here? He's, I know everything because I'm God. So, but I don't understand this. So that means only you're doing something. So that's the aspect is we can't make. That's the point is that if you're making too much of a distinction, it's wrong. If you're making too much of a oneness, it's wrong. You make too much of a distinction between Mayapur and Vrindavan, that's wrong. But if you say it's just exactly the same, but there's a difference in flavor. Radha and Krishna are one, but at the same time as they're different. There's a different flavor. Therefore, you can distinguish. If you can't distinguish, that's impersonalism. Or if it's dvaitism is taken too far the other way, you're not fully understanding the Lord's glories and his position. You know what I'm saying? How everything is non-different from the Lord. So either position taken to extreme is not very Krishna conscious. So we have to avoid that.
So without the acharya, we can be very much bewildered.
Yes, very much. So that's why we're always following in the footsteps. It means where they put their foot, that's exactly where you step. And it's not kind of, it's a general kind of concept. So you exactly step there. Because they know where to step. And if you step there, it'll be fine. But that doesn't mean we're imitating. We're just following the footsteps. So that's the point. When we understand this, we only know Krishna through the devotees, then we're actually understanding. So even when we have realization, it's only by the grace of the devotees, and it's only because of our relationship with the devotees, right? So if we have, a particular realization coming in this line, so now, where does that allow us to fit in and do service? Right? In that line.
Yes.
But now if we have that knowledge and on our own, now we're going to function? How does that work? How is that of any benefit? What are we going to do with that knowledge on our own without the acharyas? Yes. So it's just us there floating in space? You know, so it's a, you know, how you say, this year is, you know, the picture on the Hindu calendar. You know, like that. You know, you have Radha and Krishna in the Om sign in the clouds. You know, like that. So it's just us. You know, just no, nothing, not even clouds, just there. You know, white background there, looking so good. So that's the thing, is that it's the situation is there. So that being's revealed because then within that situation you serve. So if you have a realization of the situation, you know that. That's in which you're going to apply that realization, which is service to Krishna. Right? So then, that means we're having realization of Vrindavan, that means that you do that service in Vrindavan. If that realization is coming in the line of Rupa Goswami, because one will be in those situations to serve under Rupa Goswami. Does that make sense? So it's not about us, it's not that we're so fabulous, it's just that you're being given the opportunity to take part in that scene. Because you have to be part of a scene. It's not that it's going to be us and Krishna. Because Rupa Goswami makes that point. Radharani is the only devotee. Everybody else is devotee of the devotee. She's the devotee. Directly devotee of Krishna. Everybody else is a servant of Radharani. Right? And we're a servant of the servant of the servant. Like this. The point is, the service goes on in a situation, right? Means sambandha means understanding yourself and the situation, all the relationships. Abhideya means then functioning in that. Prayojana then means the results and that taste that comes from that. So unless there's a situation, you can't perform the other two. It's just, you know, it's just natural. You're going to do something, it needs a place. You can't do it in nothingness. Right? Does that make sense? So, That's the point, is that one has to see is that the Dham is that first aspect of realization. Then from there, then the divine couple and the rasas of this. So we're just becoming aware of this, that we even are interested in this. Does that make sense? You know. Otherwise, you know, we'll be more interested in what's the latest Samsung phone or something. So that's the point. So you're hearing about Krishna. Right? Because we hear about, that's what advertising is. You hear about it. You don't know about it or care about it, but then by hearing about it, you get interested in it, and then you'll make the endeavor for it. Right? There's thinking, feeling, willing, and you make that endeavor. So we hear about rasa, we hear about Krishna and his pastimes, we hear about the devotees, then we have an interest to take part in that. So just that little bit of interest is starting doesn't mean we're on that perfectional platform, we stand on our own. We're hearing in this situation, so we're followers in this situation. So in the situation around Srila Rupa Goswami, that's the one that we're serving. But it's not something else. If we want to be unique and not be, we can do whatever we want. You know, but the point is how you're going to get there? Who are you following? Because if you're not following somebody, you're not going to get there. Right? It's not, you can, you know, elbow your way up to the front. You know, it's just like, just keep this in mind if you're ever thinking elbowing is a option. So one day, from whatever the reason was, I think there's a specific pastime, but I don't remember what. Krishna had killed one of Kamsa's, you know, associates. And Kamsa, I think, either hearing about it, became so angry that he came down the road to Vrindavan. You know, when you're going on the parikram and you go down to the end of Jamuna, you come back the other way,
yes.
And then when it turns in again,
yes.
So just at that point, you know, there's that point there where Vyasadeva wrote the Bhagavatam. If you go a little bit farther around, then up on the inside, there's up a little bit, there's a little kunda there. So he had come down to that because that's the Mathura road. If instead of turning right, you know, going to where Vyasadeva wrote, you keep going straight, you go to Mathura.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And so then he came down that road and all that, and I think Purnamasi saw him and turned him into a girl. Right? And then being this young girl there, there's all the other girls already there. So they're established. She's not. So they had, you know, working, cleaning, washing clothes, doing all this menial service and all that. You know, so here, big Kamsa. And he can do nothing about it. Because Purnamasi is controlling. She's a chit shop. And so after some time, then the mood is that, and, please, what can I do to get out of this? And her point is this, never come back here again. You know, if you leave now and go back, then you'll be fine. Otherwise, you come. You know the routine, you know, what it's going to be. So that's why you never hear Kamsa going to Vrindavan. Because he tried it once and it didn't work out very well.
He understood the lesson.
He understood. Yeah, you could understand. And so that's the whole thing. So this idea, I'll elbow my way up to the front and I'll be right there. It's not happening. Purnamasi said. It's not, you can't do something that's not about Krishna and his pleasure in the line. Because for Krishna, the direct activity, that's what he says. Someone who says he's my devotee is not my devotee. Someone who says he's the devotee of my devotee, they're my devotee. So that's the point.
Elbowing is quite popular in Indian temples, though.
Yes. Like that.
Okay.
But that's if you're, that's generally for the kind of, you would say, the grihastha community, you know, the more passion and all that. The most effective that you see is the widow's wedge.
Mm-hmm.
Like that. You know that one? No? You ever seen the old, like, Bengali ma, the old grandmothers, you know, wearing white? They can go through any crowd. It doesn't matter how crowded. Because, one, they're a little bent over, so they've got the right attitude. You know? You know, the head's smaller than the shoulders. The grihastha guy's walking through the shoulders out, you know, so that's more space. They're down with their head. Then they have a stick, right? Because they have the walking stick. And that's in front. That's even more thin. So you have this perfect line is that stick can go between. If you have a little gap, that stick can go in there.
Yeah.
And then from that, everybody moves back. So they move through with no problem. You know, so watching this for years, and I thought, okay, this is good. And then when we do the Jagannath Rath Yatra in Calcutta, you know, so the Rath Yatra there, it's literally, when you say millions of people, you mean it. It's not you're just saying, oh, there was millions of people. There were actually literally millions. So when you have to move the deity, the crowds, you can't get them through. So people try yelling, screaming, guys go up, try to move people out of the way. That doesn't work. So what we'd do is we'd get the devotees carrying the deities, and then you have the person in front that does the widow's wedge. And then, because you just have to go down, you don't need the stick, you just put your hands like this. And so it's even more effective because all you need is, like, you know, basically 2 centimeters gap, and you can get through. Because once you have that, you know, it's like the Marwari saying, first take the little finger, then take the whole hand. Right? And so then you just go through, and then by that they've seen it, and then the other devotees can come through. So you can have that person, then you have the ones that push them out of the way, then you have the deities. And you can actually, the person in front can actually run. Not fast, but you can actually want. You can go faster than the walk. It's like a jogging speed. You can go. And any crowd, you can get through. So, that's the most efficient.
I don't know. There's a whole psychology between it. I mean, I watch in the temple room. I'm standing 20 centimeters behind someone, and behind me there's about 10 meters gap, and the person will want to get between me and the other.
Yeah.
Not behind me. They got to move out of the way.
Yes, because that's the whole point, is that that's where you see, as in the Shastras are talking about general devotees, means Samanya Bhaktas, not Sampradayak. Samanya Bhaktas, because they're counted, in one sense, they're counted within devotional service. But generally, when we count from those who have that Shraddha coming from association and take up the process seriously. So, and then take initiation. So those in that, we'll generally count them as the neophytes. But technically, you can extend that all the way out to anybody who has a little bit of faith at all. You know, so basically, any Hindu who's not fixed in the Mayavadi philosophy, you know, as a practice. It may be ultimately they're Mayavadis, but whatever it is, they worship Krishna, they worship Ram, they worship like this at home. So that's the thing, is this will be a neophyte thing, that only if I'm up in the front I'm getting the mercy. You know, so it's just that, you know, with us, there's less of us, and we generally work on European spacing, but they don't have those hang-ups. You know, the principle is the same, but they're quite comfortable with Asian spacing. And 20 centimeters is good. Yeah, that's enough. You know, you suck in your belly, you fit. But the fun is, you just suck in to get in, and then you let the belly out, and then you push it back to 30 centimeters, and you move back. They don't, because the altar's there. You're not going forward. So, you know, it's like on the train. You know, you get in and just sit, you know, get, how you say, you know, how you say, one cheek on the seat, and then with time, as someone breathes out or something, you just like the boa constrictor, it just holds. And as you breathe out, then it goes more. You know, so as soon as you turn to get something out of your bag, that 3 centimeter, they move in. And then by the end, you're on the floor, and they've got the whole seat. You know, but it's coming from that neophyte position. You know, is that the idea that only at the front they don't necessarily appreciate the whole thing. So that's why you see, as they advance, they don't do that. In the beginning, they tend to. So at least it's directed towards Krishna, so that's nice. But then the problem comes is that, you know, others are trying to also direct their attention to Krishna. So that's why when you know there's going to be a crowd, you stand at the back, and then you'll see no one bothers you. You know, especially if it's behind a column. You stand behind a column so that you can just halfway come out. No one will bother you there. You know, it's just no one's interested. But, certainly, yeah. So it's just that's why, well, you see Lord Chaitanya. You just stand at the back. It makes it easy. You don't have to fight over it. If it's empty, you come in for darshan and all that. But if it's like darshan and there's crowds and that, just stand at the back. You know. Sometimes I always find it funny, the ladies that complain, why do we have to stand in the back? Says, in the crowd, that's the best place. You don't want to be at the front.
Yes, mm-hmm.
Yeah. And Mahaprabhu taking darshan of Jagannath, old woman standing on
the... Yeah, and then not only that, they were standing on his shoulder, so at least we're missing out on that one.
You're not tall enough.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
It's happening from 500 years. Old women sneaking.
Yeah. Climbing up there. Yeah. So that's another aspect that I haven't studied yet. But, you know, I said only the widow's wedge, but not this one. You climb up on the shoulders.
That is in Puri Ratha. In Puri Ratha,
you see that? Wow, so far.
Like there is one pole, and a person is like till the Rath goes. He's holding onto the pole, and only then he realizes he's 6 feet above the ground, holding onto that pole.
He
after
is.
That rat goes. The guy who is holding on the pole is 6 feet above the ground, but is just holding ahead and balancing, because there are people below him.
Oh, okay. And then when they move on, then he's just left on his own. Okay. Some of the finer detail. So,
it was her mistake.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And for the aspiring devotees, bhavaka bhaktas, there are statements by devotee speakers, sad uktya, statements filled with auspiciousness, fully describing the befitting original condition of union with the Lord. For the accomplished devotees, by the nature of rati filled with hope, and for the aspiring devotees, by statements of other devotees about the Lord's happiness, about the Lord, happiness will manifest in Karuna Rasa, whose very nature is to manifest astonishing vibhava and the other elements. This is the definition of rasa, sthiti, given by the knowers of rasa. Right, so those who have that mood, then there's no problem. And those who desire that, hearing from them, then so in both cases it removes all inauspiciousness. Right, it's just a flavor, it's a medium through which it's coming. Does that make sense? Just, it would be just like this. Let us say we take some flour, right? Some flour, some water, some milk, like that, some sugar, and then we cook it, right? Then we take some milk and some sugar and cook it, right? So on both of them, one's grains, one's milk. So very different. But when you eat it, What kind of preparation will you call it?
Milk preparation.
Hmm?
A milk preparation.
Milk, but also, but the same as far as rasa goes, as far as the taste.
Sweet.
Sweet. You understand? So the point is it doesn't matter which of these eight rasas that one tastes, that the ecstasy of serving Krishna is coming through. It'll always be that ecstasy. It's always ananda. Even though the medium used is different. You know, so like even in dairy, you could use yogurt, you can use milk, you can use kheer, you know, but it's still going to be sweet.
Yes.
Does that make sense? Mm. You know, so like that, or you have a fluffy cake, or you have, let's say, a shortbread, or things that they'll still be sweet. So that's the thing, is that these are just mediums for... mediums for ananda. So that's the whole point, is that these bhavya bhaktas, means those who are tasting this bhava, this what they're tasting it. So for them it's just various meanings. Then for the bhavaka bhaktas, ones who are aspiring to come to that platform of that to taste, then they, by hearing from these bhavya bhaktas, so that's why it's very important. We're hearing from Rupa Goswami, and then the acharyas are making their comments, and like that, and then that we're applying. So then we're also experiencing taste. Our taste may not be as great as these others, but the point is there's a taste. That's why we're here in Krishna conscious. We wouldn't be here if there's no taste. Like that, you know. It's not like the what do you call it? Room and board is, you know, that fabulous. Does that make sense? It means, you know, everybody just has a fabulous place to stay. You know, everybody has 5-star, you know, places to stay and eat and clothes and everything, and that's just provided automatically, whether you do service or not, whether you're advanced or not. No. So people aren't here for that. I've heard in the past people say, oh, the Bengalis, so many are coming, but you can't really count that as serious devotees and all that. You know, like in the West, you go out there work and you make them into a devotee. That's really good. But the Bengalis, so many of them, it's like that. They're coming because of material facilities, you know, because you have here the long building, you know, like that, with a common bathroom and, you know, a wall with no furniture. And they're just leaving their house, you know, in droves for that. So, but the point is no, because the amount of taste they get in material relations, they're back in their village, is hundreds of times of what they'll get hanging out with a bunch of Westerners who have no idea what relationship is. You know? And their mother cooks way better than we cook. You know? So that's not the reason. So the people aren't coming for that. Because as long as there's a taste in Krishna consciousness and a taste in the relations of the Vaishnavas, they're here. And when it's not, then if they need a material taste, they'll go home. So devotees are in this movement and in this society because of the taste they get. So even though it may be small, so that's why we're trying to always increase this taste by constantly associating with those more advanced. You know, by being engaged in the processes, and then from that, the taste increases more and more. The heart becomes more and more purified. So we appreciate what taste is there. So it's not that the taste is increasing means our appreciation of that taste is increasing. Otherwise, the same position you see is that we have these in the pastimes of the Lord. Then someone saying a verse. And Pundarik Vidyaniti is then in ecstasy for 6 hours. We hear the same verse, nothing's happening. It's kind of like, yeah, okay. So that's the point, is that it's the same. It's the same holy name. We're chanting and Haridas Thakur is chanting. It's not that it's a different holy name. Well, he's got the upgrade, you know. he's got the release, you know, how you say 108, you know, like this, you know. So no, it's the same name, it's the same Krishna, but due to our position, then we'll appreciate that more or less, like you were saying, appreciation. So then that will move us forward,
yes.
And that taste is there.
Yes.
So then the Bhavika Bhaktas, then they come to, following the footsteps of the Bhavya Bhaktas, then they come to that platform.
Yes. So Maharaj, when we say about the rasa, very often we say that shanta is the basis, the appreciation.
Yes.
The side rasa. So in the taste also, we can say the same thing.
Because when you're saying there, the point is that shanta, we say shanta rasa, but when we say rasa, we mean that it has all the elements there. So the stai bhava is there, vibhava, anubhava, sattvika bhava, and vyavichari bhava. That together is called rasa. When they're functioning together, you call it. It's just like, let us say I take 5 ingredients, and this I'm going to cook into something.
Mm-hmm.
Right? I have some milk, I have some sugar, I have some saffron, you know, I have some, you know, say some rose petals or some cardamom or things like this, and I have them separately there.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the items that would be put together. When it's put together, then I'm going to call it by that particular. Then it's called rasa. But on its own, then I'm going to call that attraction. That's rati. So that's why you see there's a distinction between rati and rasa. Because rati is the particular attraction. Therefore, you taste that rasa. Like if you have attraction for sweets, when you eat, you'll taste the sweet rasa. You have an attraction for the salty, when you taste, then you will taste salty things. Right? Because you're going to collect those things and then start eating sweets. So then you're going to taste sweet. So if the rati is that in, let's say, parental, then you're going to involve in the situations and activities that are connected with the parental rasa. Therefore, you'll taste parental rasa. Right? Yeah. So the shanta, that means, if we say it's a rasa, that means they have shanta rati.
Yes.
And so therefore it's shanta rasa. So depending upon the attraction, that's there. So these 5 are there. Then according to that, that's why it says you follow in the footsteps of those devotees. Right? So for us, the uniqueness in our line or the specialty of our line is following the footsteps of the gopis.
Yes.
Right? Because, I mean, everybody can appreciate, so we can say as well, you know, if one's, that's not the rasa I'm interested in, it doesn't matter. Their full surrender, any other devotee from them on down appreciates. I mean, Bhijamadeva on the bed of arrows, he's talking about the gopis, right? The ladies at Mathura, when Krishna comes to Mathura, you know, and he and Balaram are walking in, you know, dressed, you know, so wonderfully with their forearms and all that. They're talking about how they're just seeing and they're so impressed. How fortunate are the gopis? They get to actually embrace them. Like that. So everybody respects the gopis. So from any case, trying for that surrender of the gopis, wherever you get to, is fine. So this idea is it has to be that. That's the uniqueness of Lord Chaitanya's mission, and that, you know, following Rupa Goswami, is that everyone, no matter where you want to go to Vaikuntha, you follow this, you'll get there quicker. So everybody can appreciate the flavor of Braj, the surrender of the Brajabasis. All the sampradayas will appreciate it. Whether that's what they're striving for, but you'll take example. You know, just like the kid's down trying to learn some music, and he'll take example from someone who was really focused. You know, he says, oh, I can't do this, I'm too young for this. And then someone says, hey, Mozart at 6, he was playing for the Queen. You know, and then they get inspired. You know, so it's just, you know, or Prahlad Maharaj at 5 years old. He's instructing his classmates, he's going through all these things. So it's not that we have to have a demoniac father who's trying to boil us alive or something. You know, it's that we can be inspired by his surrender. So, in any case, whatever the positions, but the point is, since you're dealing with the top and all other rasas are included, that means whatever your position, it's included. We don't have to separately work for something else. So therefore, we simply follow in the footsteps of that mood, that attitude. That's why it's a mistake to make it on the externals of the gopis. No, it's the attitude of the gopis that's important. That's following the footsteps. When we go by the externals, that's imitating. Is that... Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Samvet Veda Bhaktivinoda ki, Jai Nitai Gaura Vrinda ki.